This podcast is sponsored by Great White Hot Sauce. It's a small batch, handmade hot sauce made specially for you. So if you like hot sauce, you'll love Great White Hot Sauce. It's the hot sauce that bites back. Find it at www.trygreatwhite.com. So sometimes on this podcast, we like to revisit old topics and freshen them up a bit. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about best guitar solos, or our favorite guitar solos. I have my list, Jack has his list, and maybe you have your list. Let's see if your list agrees with my list and Jack's lists. That's a lot of lists. Enjoy.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
The KOFB studio presents Milk Crates and Turntables, a music discussion podcast hosted by Scott McLean with his co-host, Jack Calabrese. Now, let's talk music. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the podcast. You know the name. I'm not going to say it. We're streaming live right now over Facebook and YouTube. Let me say right off the bat, for you live streamers, if you like it, share it. For you podcast listeners, maybe give us a like, give us a comment on whatever podcast platform, say that three times, that you're listening on. And before we start, I just want to say thank you guys for watching the live stream. Thank you for the listeners. Coming up on 6,000 downloads. Yeah, that's not bad for a music podcast. You know, not bad at all. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. And tonight's topic is more best guitar solos. That seems to be our hottest episode. That one's coming up on 1,000 downloads on its own. And we're going to readdress it and come back with some more stuff. So without further ado, as I see Jack just walked away from his desk, and now he's sitting down again. So let me start this again. Without further ado, the guy that tries to do a guitar solo every fucking episode, my friend and brother, Jackie Calabrese.
Hey, how are you, Scott?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Florida.
Ah, it's beautiful down here.
So I have to tell you, I'm getting tired of the cold. Don't like it. Don't like it. Makes me cranky.
Let's see. You got to move a little closer to your mic, buddy.
All right. How's that?
Hey, there you go. Now you sound professional. Yeah.
The cold weather makes me cranky. Cranky. Especially being a bald guy, you know?
Yeah.
Scientists say what? You lose like 67% of the heat through your head.
So wear a hat.
I lose all of it. How many times do you ever see me without? Yeah.
All right. So you've been kind of getting on me for the last couple of weeks to let's get back to the guitar solos because it was a again it's our number one episode. So I went back today and. Oh, one of the viewers already threw it at you, Jack. Don't be a sis. Already
that?
Throwing it at you. That's Crowley. My buddy. That's Crowley Forrester.
So that sounds Kentucky. Like a made up name.
Hey, listen. His first Crowley name, I believe his name is Marion. But the thing about Crowley is he's about 6'5", 6'6". He was my evil twin in customs. He took me under his wing.
6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah. So I don't know, Crowley. I'm just going to get off the music.
Huh? My deepest apologies for making fun of your name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not a thin 6'5 or 6'6 or whatever he is. So I'm just going to get off topic and talk about my buddy Crowley. I love Crowley. He taught me a lot on the job, how to carry yourself mostly. And so he evidently used to play professional football. He played with the Seattle Seahawks for a little while back in the day, right? So I asked him one day, we were out there breaking shit down, looking for dope. And I said, how long did you play with them? And I think he said something like, oh, he's 285 now. So there you go. Woo. Yeah, he's a big boy. Yeah. So I asked him, I said, how long did you play? And I think he said like maybe 2 years or something, two, maybe three. But the point is, I said, well, what happened? He says, well, it took him that long to figure out I sucked.
Hey, you couldn't have sucked that bad if you made it to the game.
Yeah. He's a very humble guy. He's a nice guy. And I used to bust his balls. I'd walk up to him and say, I ain't afraid of you, motherfucker. I ain't afraid of you. I will take you out. And he said to me one time, and I never forgot this, he says, yeah. As he's looking down at me, he says, yeah, you might take me out, but it ain't something you want to do every day. good point, buddy. Good point. So it's enough funny. About you, Crowley.
You and I have similar friends, and I have a buddy out west. He actually lives in California, but we used to hang out in Seattle quite a bit. He actually played for the Rams for a couple of years. And the one time in all my travel business-wise that I actually had to share a room was with my buddy Mike Shiner, who is 6'9", 6'10", or whatnot, and well over 300 pounds. And I was relieved to find out that the hotel room that we were staying in is I had my room, he had his room, and there was a common area. And while I was getting unpacked, I said, hey, Mike, come here for a second. I said, see this? This is the threshold to my room. I was like, I know you're a big football player and tough guy and whatnot, but if you cross this threshold, I'll kill you. And he giggled, tapped me on the head, and said, that's cute, and walked away.
That's cute.
You're a cute kid.
All right. So let's get on with the show. You ready to do a good show?
I am ready to do a great show.
All right, buddy. So guitar solos. Now, I have a question. Is there a difference between a guitar solo and a guitar jam?
You know what I mean by that, right? Yeah. Well, you know what? For the benefit of our audience, why don't you explain what you mean?
So you have guitar solos, and then you have guitar solos within guitar jams. So, like, let's just say my brother, for instance, he said, I asked him, he's a co-producer of the show, along with Jack, my brother Colin, and I'll jump right into it. He said,
he's not really a producer. He's more of a technical advisor. He's a creative advisor.
I'm going to let you deal with him on that. I'm going to let you talk to Lefty. He says Statesboro Blues, right? Dwayne Allman. Now, within that, the Allman Brothers, as with Leonard Skinner, they aren't really solos. There's multiple guitars playing behind them. You know, like Green Grass and High Tides Forever, right? That's a jam, but there's a solo in there. You know what I mean? Like the lead guitarist steps out in front. So yeah,
I will say that from my perspective, and I'm not an expert by any means, is that I think a jam is actually comprised of multiple solos that are layered in between. And a lot of times, you know, the jams are you know, soloists that are kind of playing off of one another to
like
create
Dickie Betts and Dwayne Allman.
Yeah, right? You know, to create something that is a little bit broader than just a straight ahead solo.
Okay.
I think there are some bands that do it particularly well. You know, the Allman Brothers, obviously, you know, the Dead, if you're a Dead fan, and, you know, I kind of skirt that line a little bit. But they, I think you're right in that there's definitely a difference between something that's kind of like long and drawn out. It has a jazz feel to it, maybe a little bit of improvisation compared to somebody that does, you know, think of Elliot Easton of the Cars, who plays these great, tasty guitar solos.
Yeah, you like him, I know. Yeah.
They're like 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
You know, get in and get out.
I think we talked about that. And so I think some of the songs... And, well, my brother brought up a great point. He's an Allman Brothers guy, always has been, from being a young teenager all the way to now. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. He says they're America's greatest band, but arguably, they could be in the conversation.
They're
fantastic
up there.
Band.
They're up there.
He says, and he brought up a good point, that there's times where you can't tell if it's Dickie Betts or Duane Allman, you know, in their playing styles, because they just had a similar style, I guess. I'm not a huge Allman Brothers guy, but I'll take his word for it, since he
would know better than I. Yeah. But on the songs that I'm familiar with the Allman Brothers, I can pick it out for one real reason, is that by and large, Dickie Betts was a picker. I mean, he could really, you know, pick out, you know, these really intricate leads and runs. And Duane was really more of a slide player. Not that he didn't play, you know, straight ahead lead, but he kind of had his own tone.
He taught Dickie Betts how to play the slide. Dickie Betts evidently had broken his finger. And Duane Allman said he put an aspirin bottle over the finger. And he taught him how to slide it on the guitar when he played.
It's not, I tell you, I've tried to play slide. It's not easy.
No, I can't think it is.
It's easy to make noise, but.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll let you jump off on, give me your first song.
So I went into a number of different areas. And I have to tell you, one of the things that I tried to do was I actually tried to go more into the 90s and the 2000s.
Yeah, I'm with you, buddy. I did the same thing.
It gets challenging, man. It gets much, much harder to pick out great, you know, great solos. But one that I did pick out, and I don't think they're regarded as a guitar band, but Radiohead, Paranoid Android off of OK Computer. You have Johnny Greenwood that just rips two chaotic, almost out of tune guitar solos that are just absolutely chilling.
Yes.
And just complement that song so incredibly well.
Yes. I agree 100%. This isn't a one of these episodes where we can't argue any of this, because.
Oh, yes, we can. And we will.
All right, buddy. I was trying to forget last week. But
I'm just
right.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
I know you are. I'm going to jump off with an interesting pick. And I heard this song. I love this song. It is a song that I never get sick of. And it's from the 90s, and it has a rip-roaring guitar solo in it. Actually, one and a half guitar solos. And that would be Matthew Sweet, Girlfriend.
Oh, great song.
That song, if for the listeners... Go listen to that on whatever music platform you listen to music. Matthew Sweet, Girlfriend is an insane guitar solo for a song that was basically a radio song. You know, it wasn't
it's a
B-side.
It's a great pop song.
And that dude could shred, and he does it fast and furious. So Matthew Sweet, Girlfriend, like I said, there's one and a half guitar solos in there. So that's my first pick. What's yours? What's your next one? Oh, Jesus. Are you not in rhythm tonight, Jack? Are you a little?
No, I was waiting for you to finish. I didn't know that you were going to end with a couple of minutes of dead air. I mean, for Christ's sakes, there was enough room there to do a guitar solo.
Oh, you motherfucker.
I could never mind guitar solo. That spread a dead air. I could have done a guitar jam. Where's Dickie Betts when you need him?
You know, Jack didn't respond when I said 7:30 tonight, so I had a whole nother show lined up. I kind of wished he didn't respond right now.
Oh, really? So what was this other show?
Oh, it's, you know, it's my favorite subject. Did you knows? I love those things. I love those things. I do. I love them. All right, so let's start all over again. Matthew, sweet girlfriend. Hey, Jack, what's your next song?
By the way, Scott, great suggestion with Matthew Sweet. Are you sure that he's the one that actually plays the solo on that song?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to a classic. So, you know, the way that I was actually looking at the guitar solos, I was looking at classics. I was trying to look at things that were a little bit more contemporary. And then a category that we haven't really spoken that much about is that you have, you know, kind of a genre of music that are the real guitar slingers, like Eric Johnson and Joe Satriani and Steve Vai and those guys. But from a classic standpoint, one that we didn't talk about, I don't think we talked about the first time we did the guitar solo thing, was Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd and David Gilmour. And yeah. I have to tell you that the reason why I love that solo and in that song is there's two separate solos. And the first one is very melodic and very kind of ambient and really kind of almost sweet in the way that he's actually playing it. And then the song kind of turns dark at the end. And the guitar solo that he does at the end, he gets mean, he gets nasty, and that guitar solo gets rough and reverby, and it just gets a little crazy and chaotic. It's just fantastic. Yeah. And I'll tell you, if you have heard the Pink Floyd version over and over again, listen to the live version done by Pearl Jam at Fenway Park. Mike McCready of Pearl Jam just does a superb job of doing that song. It actually, in my opinion, elevates it a little bit more, if that's even possible.
Yeah. Korn does a good cover of Brick in the Wall, and that's got a pretty good jam in it, too. So,
were you a Comfortably Numb fan? Did you like that tune?
I did. Great I solo. Do. So far, you're 2 for 2.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. I know that song is played a lot.
Yeah, you know, I heard it the other day. I still listen to it.
Yeah.
I still listen to it.
It's a great, great song.
So, are you done? Are you done? Guitar solo, please. Not you. And not you. No, 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 no. I see it.
You sure?
I see that you guitar. Sure? No, don't do it.
Okay.
Don't do it. I'm going a little outside the box with this one. And it's probably, if you weren't into the 90s kind of grunge sound, then you you probably missed this group. If you were into the grunge sound, you might have caught them. There was a group out of Australia called Silverchair.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Now, when they put out this song, they were 16 years old when they put out their first fucking 16, right? And their song Tomorrow is insane as far as for 16 year old kids, you know, and the guitar solo on that. And it's one of those Elliot Easton type guitar solo. It's probably like 30, 35, 40 seconds long. But I put it in here just because the kid was 16 that did this. If you were listening on the radio, you'd swear these guys are 24, 25 years old. So, Silverchair, Tomorrow.
Great song, great band, and a band that actually is still around. Not a lot of people know that band, and a lot of people actually dismiss them as a Nirvana ripoff, you know, just because they kind of had that sound, and he kind of looked a little bit like Kurt.
Well, they were 16. They didn't really establish. And I'm with you. I'm with you. But I looked past that. That album, their first album, is really good. It's a very good album. But.
Yeah. Good band. Good band. Yeah. You know, like I said, still around today and whatnot. So I'm gonna go back, you know, just it's a good segue in terms of talking about Comfortably Numb and Pearl Jam is that I think that the guys from Pearl Jam, Stone Gossard and Mike McCready, don't get nearly enough credit for being the guitar heroes that they actually are. It's an amazing thing to me, and that Pearl Jam still consistently puts out music, still tours like crazy. The last time that they were on, they sold out Fenway Park two nights in a row, you know, something like 60, 65,000 seats. And most people don't even know that they're still recording. But I'll go back to their first album, and in a guitar solo that literally gave me goosebumps was on Alive.
Alive. Absolutely. So
if you've ever had the good fortune to see those guys in concert, that,
yes,
I don't know, 4-minute guitar solo at the end of the studio version of Alive stretches out into about 15 minutes.
Yeah, Phil Kelly and I saw them at, I don't know what the hell it's called now. It was Great Woods at one time in Massachusetts.
I think it's the Xfinity Center now.
Yeah, whatever. Phil and I saw them there. And that was a great show, very scaled down, just amps in the background, like a stack that ran the length of the stage. Very scaled down. Great, great show. They don't disappoint. They don't disappoint.
If people were into that band, we could do an entire show of great guitar solos from that band.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to go back to the 80s, I believe this song is. Late 80s. Ozzy Osbourne's No More Tears, my favorite Ozzy song of all time. And that guitar solo is performed by a young and energetic Zakk Wylde, right? Yep. And that dude, his solos were lightning. If you listen to the solo on that, it is heavy, man. And of course, he went on to form Black Label Society, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you know, Ozzy, you know, he's almost a caricature of himself. You know, people, you know, they rag on him because of the way that he speaks and moves around and whatnot. And he's, you know, he's had a very interesting and activity-filled life with a lot of different substances and whatnot, and he's definitely paying the price of it. But one of the things that you can't deny is that, you know, great songwriter and has some great, great, fantastic albums, especially some of the early ones. But more so than anything, that guy could put together a band. Now you think about the list of guitar players that he had playing with him throughout the years, whether it was Brad Gillis from Night Ranger, you know, whether it was Zakk Wylde, or whether it was Randy Rhoads, or whether it was Tony Iommi. I mean, that guy has played with some of the most talented guitar players and some of the greatest soloists of all time.
Yeah, he knows how. He knows what to put around him. That's for sure. No doubt. So, yeah, No More Tears, solo by Zakk Wylde. And you got to give him credit for the in the video. If you watch the video, he has this iconic bullseye Gibson guitar. It's great fucking guitar. It looks good, plays good. Just the whole package. All right, what do you have next, Jack? You're breaking up. You see, there you go. Now I can hear you. That New Hampshire Wi-Fi is kicking in again.
So Zakk Wylde, you know, because we're talking about guitarists and whatnot, that bullseye or circle guitar, or however you describe it, he's one of those folks that you see his guitar and you know it's his. You know, there are just some people in the world of rock that had, you know, those guitars that were iconic, right? So some of them that come to mind, obviously Eddie Van Halen with his Kramers in the early days, you know, with his Frankenstein, which was, you know, something that he cobbled together from a couple of different guitars. You know, you think of Randy Rhoads with the Flying V and the polka dots. You know, you think of Zakk Wylde. Even, you know, Eric Clapton or David Gilmour both played Stratocasters, but they played those famous black Stratocasters. Or even Pete Townsend playing the Les Paul with the number on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
You know, they all had their ways that you could identify their guitars
Stevie Ray Vaughan's Fender Strat, all worn out with the SRV on those, like, they're not glitter, like prism letters. Yep.
So why don't we stick with that? Because that's actually who I was going to bring up next. So Stevie Ray Vaughan is absolutely one of my favorite guitar players of all the of all time.
Yep, I agree.
In his version of Texas Flood,
yes,
is one of those. Even though it's him and only him that's playing guitar, you could almost consider it a little bit of a jam just because it goes on and on and on. But that guy was such an amazing guitar player, and just he made it look effortless. He was just incredible, incredible. Just and another guy that started out really, really young.
Yeah, yeah. What was it? And couldn't died. Stand, can't stand the weather. Couldn't stand the weather.
Couldn't stand the weather.
Yeah, couldn't stand that. That's a jam too. Yeah. The video's great with the wind and the rain, and he's just tearing it up. I like Pearl Jam. You could. A list of Steve Ray Vaughan solos, you know.
Any one of his records. I remember I have a buddy of mine that lives on the street here, and he and I were out having drinks. We were drinking beers at some bar and whatnot. And I was way into Stevie Ray Vaughan at the time, and he had no love for him whatsoever. And I was like, dude, how can you not? How can you not love Stevie Ray Vaughan? He was like, it's a lot of guitar, Jack. It's just a lot of guitar.
Like I can't.
It was just too. It was too much for him.
Like Green Day. Green Day.
Oh please.
No good. No good guitar solos from Green Day. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know they're not a big solo band, but they're a great band and they're a great guitar band.
All right, moving on.
What is that? Are you leaking over there?
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna go back to 88, 89. They were, this band was kind of thrown in to the hair band category, but they really weren't. They were more like old school rock with long hair, but they never teased it out. They never dressed flamboyant. And the next song on my list is Heaven's Trail, No Way Out by Tesla. Guitar solo by Frank Hannon. That guitar solo, again, just rip-roaring good. That whole song is good from start to end. Start to finish. Great song. Yeah, great guitar jam. Yep.
So I agree with you. I think that there's a couple of bands that got lumped into the whole hair metal thing that really, it was a bit of a disservice to them. And I think that you're right in that Tesla doesn't necessarily belong in that category. No. I mean, they had the misfortune, maybe it was good fortune at the time, but over time, I think it has proven to be kind of a disservice to them because I think that they had a lot more to offer than what a lot of the hair metal bands offered. You know, your Poison, your Cinderella, your Warrant, did I say Cinderella already?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
White Lion.
Yeah. All of them.
All of them. And so, you know what? I'll piggyback off of what you said and talk about another band that got lumped into the hair metal thing. And I think that they were so much better than that. Guys from Boston, Extreme, and Nuno Betancourt, who is a very, very underrated guitar player who's played with a lot of amazing people. And just could fly up and down the fretboard, really creative, really innovative, and just unbelievable in the way that he played. So, you know, I'll pick two songs that you could check out if you wanted to, just to really get an understanding of what a virtuoso and how good Nuno Betancourt was, is Get the Funk Out, or off their first album, is a song called Play With Me, which is featured in the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Okay.
Great. So I'm telling you, check it out. That guy could play, and he can play. They still tour a little bit here and there, but they're amazing.
They suffered death by song, that group.
More than words?
Yeah. Death by song.
Yeah.
They are now still a talented band. Gary Cherone, trying to sing with Van Halen was an epic fail, but
yeah. Yeah.
Moving on. My next song on my list is, again, one of these groups where there's a number of guitar solos you could pick from, but this is my favorite guitar solo from Jane's Addiction, Mountain Song.
I had that on Dave, my list.
Yeah, Dave Navarro. So there you go. If we both picked it, yeah, Navarro at his best right there. At his best.
Yeah, and you know what? It kind of goes back to where our conversation started between, you know, jams and you know, solos. You know, that guitar solo is not very long.
No.
You know, it's I don't even know if it's a minute, but there is effects that he uses very effectively, no pun intended or pun intended, in that song that are just chilling. Dave Navarro is a fantastic, fantastic guitar player. You know, edgy, hairpin turns, you know, a lot of squeals, a lot of, you know, really intricate fretwork and whatnot. He's a great guitar player and probably is better than that band as a whole. And I love Jane's Addiction.
Right.
But after that first full solo album, a little bit inconsistent.
Yeah.
But
I didn't follow him as a solo artist. I just, there's those
He isn't. Dave Navarro hasn't done much in terms of, I think he put out one solo album.
Yeah.
And he played a little bit. I think he plays on Jagged Little Pill, the Alanis Morissette record. I think he's littered all over that record as well. And remember, he did a stint with the Red Hot Chili Peppers for an album and tour.
And then got kicked out because evidently he's an asshole.
Well, he does.
They didn't mention him at the Hall of Fame induction.
He does like heroin, or did like heroin.
Yeah.
You know, funny enough, and I can't remember if we talked about this before, but I actually have one of his guitar picks that I got at a Red Hot Chili Peppers show where he was the guitar player.
Okay.
And it had, so on one side, you know, if I remember correctly, it says Dave Navarro or it says Dave on it. On the other side, it actually has a list of the guitar players that have played with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and his name is last. And then after that, there's a question mark. Like, he knows.
He knows
somebody's coming. Somebody's coming in after me.
All right. Yeah. So we both picked that one. Good. Good. I'm going to go back to the 70s. I'm going to go back to the 70s, early 70s. This band was formed in 1961. That's like, thinking of that now, that's amazing, right? They were formed before I was born. And in 74, Golden Earring came out with Radar Love. Radar Love is actually what I consider a perfect song, okay? It has a great bass riff throughout the whole song. Starts it off, ends it. Then you have the guitar, and that there's a great guitar solo in the middle. And it's actually has a drum solo too, Jack.
You know I love the drum solo.
Has a drum solo. And the singer, again, great voice, great sound. So Radar Love and I believe George Kooymans, they were Dutch, right?
Yeah, I think they were from the Netherlands or something like that.
They were Dutch, and they're from The Hague, actually. Yeah. And now they also, 10 years later, they were only number one with
Twilight Zone.
Yes. Yeah.
Hated that song.
Another good guitar solo. Good guitar solo in there, though.
I don't remember the guitar solo. But you know what? And it's really unfair of me.
And bass riff. Doon, 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 doon.
Yeah. It's unfair of me to say that I hate that song, but they killed that song on MTV. They overplayed that song so much.
that was when MTV first broke. They didn't have much to play. There wasn't a lot of videos out there.
Dude, you don't have to lecture me. Don't yell at me.
Well, I'm telling you because you're complaining.
I'm not complaining.
They played that song so much. It's unbelievable.
I was trying.
Listen, 80s Karen.
I was waiting for my Pat Benatar video. Yeah. They kept playing Golden Earring.
80s Karen.
I want to hear Tommy Two Tone.
Another one. And I'll tell you, we couldn't wait till it came on until probably the 50th time you saw it in a week. And it slowly starts to fade away.
Yeah. So wait a minute, do you have there, like, when did that song come out? Is that
70, I believe 73, and you know what?
No, Twilight Zone.
Oh, Twilight Zone, I think it was like 83.
Yeah,
I want to say 83, 82, 82?
I'm sorry, MTV had plenty of fucking videos to play at that point.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking 82, 83.
You're probably right.
It was heavy rotation because it was a good song. Did you know that when they toured in 73...
Are we already there? Are we doing Did You Know? Is that it?
It's about...
Are we at the end of the show?
I'm trying to continue to talk about Golden Earring. What do you got, PTSD about Did You Know? Does that trigger you, Jack? Does that trigger you?
It does.
So... during the 73-74 tour for Radar Love, two great bands ended up backing them up. They backed them up. Kiss and Aerosmith both backed up Golden Earring. Now you know.
Well, that is just absolutely fantastic. And both.
It is.
Both great guitar solo bands.
Yeah, good. Give me your song.
Much better than Golden Earring.
37 minutes in, and I'm already...
two-hit wonder. Should have been a one-hit wonder, but, you know, MTV, they didn't have any videos in 1982. They had to play Twilight Zone every 15 fucking minutes.
They did get the Go-Go's into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so the MTV served a purpose. So.
Wow, look at you.
All right, go on. Go on. Just let's get this fucking list over with.
So... in past episodes, you and I have had spirited debate regarding Led Zeppelin. Great band, the greatest band, plagiarizing, back and forth. And I'm definitely going to go totally cliche, totally obvious, but with one slight twist. So Stairway to Heaven is regarded as probably one of the greatest guitar solos of all time. And I can't argue that point on the studio version, but this is where I'm taking a little bit of a left-hand turn. If you're at all inclined, go out and get the box set, How the West Was Won, that has an elongated, long version of Stairway to Heaven that has a guitar solo in it where Jimmy Page strays well beyond the guitar solo on the recorded version and really starts to noodle around and expand. And you hear this interplay between he and John Bonham in particular. It is just a fantastic, great guitar solo that actually goes somewhere. It restored my faith in Jimmy Page's ability to play live.
Okay.
How was that for a little speech?
Well, I was going to interrupt you and say, oh, Jesus, what is this? Did you know? What are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. But I didn't. I didn't.
Did you know?
I don't. All right. Anyways, I'm going back to the 80s with my next one, and I do not like this band at all. I don't like them at all. I like a song by them. This might be the only song I like by them. But this song is by Bon Jovi, who I think is way overrated. Wanted Dead or Alive. That is a good guitar solo.
It is a great guitar solo.
Yes. Yes.
It is a great, great guitar solo.
I give credit when credit is due.
Yeah. I think the thing that I love about that guitar solo, and by the way, I'm in the same camp as you in that I think that Bon Jovi is overrated. Although I'm a sucker for a good pop song, and there's a couple of their songs that I really do like. But I agree with you. I think that that is their best song by a long stretch, and I think it's the best guitar solo that they do. And one of the reasons for it is it just breaks that song wide open. You know, there's kind of a tension that's built up in the beginning of that song with the acoustic thing and the interplay between John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora and the way that they're kind of singing back and forth. And then that song busts wide open with Richie just that feedback squeal, you know, in it, and again, not a very long guitar solo. I mean, how long is that solo?
Well, you figure the song's about a little over 3 minutes, I think.
Yeah, that guitar solo couldn't be more than like 30 seconds, 40 seconds.
Oh, probably about 40 seconds, but it's a standout, right?
Oh, no question. I'm not putting it down. I think it's really, really effective. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, Scott.
Acoustic also, the acoustic version too.
By the way, Scott, I think you're amazing.
No. Too late. You damage done. I just want to get through this show right now.
That's it?
You really hurt. No. We got more.
Did I hurt your feelings?
To you? Oh, do you listen? No. Do you
I'm
listen?
So sorry. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. Okay. fucking hate you.
You don't hate me. Come on.
You're only in it for the hot sauce that you'll never see.
I haven't seen any hot sauce. None.
All right, throw a song at me.
All right, I'm going to go a little bit newer. And when I say a little bit newer, I mean really kind of old, considering that we're so far out. A band that we haven't spoken a lot about, but, you know, great guitar solos, great guitar band is Metallica One.
So, again, I have that on my list, but I have that with an either or. Right.
Okay.
I have that.
Either or, Scott.
Either or. One or Enter Sandman. Oh, those are tough.
Yeah.
That's an either or.
You can't
say either one of them a right or wrong. You know.
No.
Two great guitar solos.
I think the thing that I like about One is it may actually kind of fit into. You know, your category of it. It's not really a jam song, but there's a couple of stages to the guitar solo.
Yes, it's a build. Yes.
Yeah, which I really appreciate. And again, I don't know. Have you seen Metallica live?
I have. Korn backed them up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they did something interesting. Toward the end of the show, not the end, but toward the end, all of a sudden the lights go out. Right. And on the stage, this light, like you still see like a glow. Right. And, what's his name? Lead singer. I can't remember his fucking name.
James Hetfield
reaches up and pulls a string and a light goes on. Like it's the single light in the whole place. And they played under that light. They played like a couple of songs. It was a very bright light, of course. But it was a pretty cool thing. Everyone thought the power went out, you know. But
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they put on a great show.
Yeah, and the reason I asked you if you had had the opportunity to see Metallica in concert is that, you know, the one of the cool things about One and the guitar solos are they're pretty intricate. I mean, those guys play really fast. And there's a lot of notes, and I mean, you have to have precision and dexterity to be able to play that. And if you've seen them live, the utter concentration that they have to be able to pull that song off in a live environment is unbelievable. It is simply amazing to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've had the opportunity to see them a couple of times, and when they get through that song, it's almost like they can breathe a little bit easier. Not that the other songs are any easier.
Yeah.
But it seems like it requires a whole elevated level of concentration and interplay between the two of them, you know, amongst the entire band, actually. And when they're done with that, there's almost like a self-congratulations. You know, not that they do it outwardly. It's not an obvious thing, but you can almost see like, oh, great, we got through it.
Yeah. Kirk Hammett, half Filipino.
Right. Yep.
And I'll tell you what, player. I've seen some guitar players when I was over there. I was over there for 2 years. I've seen some Filipino guitar players that were absolutely amazing. Amazing. They could play anything. Talented people, those Filipinos. But, all right, so I said Enter Sandman in one. You said one. So I'll go up two. Oh, this is kind of a gimme. It's an easy one, but it's still a great guitar solo. Guns N' Roses, November Rain.
Yeah, not my favorite.
No, again, so overplayed. Got overplayed.
Yeah, and you know the beginning of that solo is a little whiny to me. I think Slash is an amazing guitar player. You know, for my money, if you're going to pick a guitar solo from, you know, Guns N' Roses, you have to pick Sweet Child of Mine. Or the end of Paradise City.
Again, a band that's guitar-driven. I just think November Rain is more of a standout guitar, considering it's a very easygoing song, and the guitar solo just rises above it, and then it, you know, finishes off in a big crescendo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, not much more to talk about with that.
All right, so I might get a little cringe from you out of this one, but I do think that he's a great guitar player, a little bit more contemporary. He has been around for a long period of time and probably catches a lot of shit because of some of the music that he puts out and who he is personally and whatnot. But I think he's a really, really talented guitar player, is John Mayer. In his version or his song Gravity, especially, again, you know, I'm a big fan of live. It really shows his ability to play the blues. He's an amazing, amazing guitar player.
So I'm going to do a Spotify playlist tomorrow, and that song probably won't be on it.
See that? You know, you have a closed mind. You know, you gotta experience these things. You gotta check them out. You may not.
I'll put it on the list, Jack. I'll put it on the list. Okay.
You may not like it, but it's a good guitar solo, and the guy can play guitar.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
I mean, I get it. He's no Golden Earring.
No. He's probably not. He's not. He's not Dutch. So, yeah, you're right there. Another one of my brother Lefty's picks. And this is, he's spot on with this one, is from Get Your Ya-Ya's Out, Mick Taylor in Sympathy for the Devil. That's a great guitar solo.
Well, you know, take your pick. You know, Keith Richards and Mick Taylor playing on the live version and even the studio version. You know, the Keith Richards solo in the studio version of Sympathy for the Devil is ridiculous.
Right.
And one of the cool things about it is that, you know, that solo kind of starts out a little bit slow, you know, but he finds his way and he picks up a little bit of speed and he basically plays that solo for the remainder of the song.
Right. Right.
But that band,
it's also a 7-minute song.
Yeah.
So,
I will tell you that, and you probably already know this, Scott, is that Mick Jagger, and I've certainly seen Keith Richards actually say that, the Rolling Stones were never better than when Mick Taylor was in that band.
I think we've discussed that, yes.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
We have.
No doubt. What else you got?
I got a bunch. We didn't really talk about Prince. I mean, I know that he was on the list when we first talked about, you know, guitar solos, but we were speaking about the live version of While My Guitar Gently Weeps. But one of the best solos of all time is right at Purple Rain.
Purple Rain. Yeah. Yeah. No argument here.
You know, no, I mean, there's a guy that by the general public is not really regarded as a guitar hero, but he could play anything.
Right.
But he was just so well-rounded in terms of, he was a great writer, he was a great singer, he was a great dancer, he was a great performer, he was a great guitar player, and somehow, you know, by and large, the guitar playing kind of got a little bit lost in the mix.
He was also a great basketball player. And evidently, according to Charlie Murphy, he made great pancakes, too.
Great pancakes. Yeah, I like to make pancakes. Like to play volleyball.
No, basketball.
Basketball.
Yeah. Did you say Prince plays volleyball?
Yeah, why not?
Get the fuck out of here.
He doesn't play anything anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're coming up on a little over...
Did you have anybody else on your list? You don't have to expand upon it, but who else did you have?
That's it. That's all I really had for this one.
All right, so I'm just going to quickly run through some of the other ones that were on my list, and I won't expand upon them. But John Frusciante for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Apologies if I'm mispronouncing his name. One of those guitar guys that I had talked about, Eric Johnson, The Cliffs of Dover, was a great instrumental song. Just an amazing guitar player. Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains,
I picked Nutshell. Queens of the Stone Age. Mastodon, was a band that my son turned me on to. Unbelievable guitar players. Yeah. There's a guy that was, since we talked about Guns N' Roses, one of the guys that replaced Slash. Have you ever seen anybody by the name of Buckethead?
Oh, Buckethead. I saw him play. He actually played with Korn. I think it was the third time I saw them or the fourth time I saw them. He played with Korn because Monkey took a break and he kind of stood in the background, but up on the a riser. Oh, yeah. Buckethead. Infamous.
That guy can play. And so for those of you that are listening or watching right now, Buckethead, one of the reasons why he was called Buckethead, and I don't think he does it anymore, but back when he first started out, he literally used to wear a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on his head.
Yeah.
And I think he moved on to wearing these elaborate masks and stuff like that. He started out and I have to tell you, the guy's a little wacky. Obviously, if you're walking around with a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on your head, you're a little wacky. But I don't think it did him any real favors in terms of people taking him seriously.
Well, he didn't care if people took him seriously as long as the bands were paying him to play.
Yeah.
And they did.
So I'll move on my list. Crossroads, Eric Clapton, the Monster Solo. Eric Clapton at his height of being able to, play, and probably most importantly, it is the song that Eddie Van Halen said inspired him to really get into guitar and to learn. Hotel California, Don Felder and Joe Walsh. Hard back to argue that one, back and forth. Jessica and the Allman Brothers. Joe Bonamassa is one of those guitar players. I had him on the list. I know he's a great guitar player. I don't get it.
I don't either.
For whatever reason, I just don't, it's just not my thing. No. Joe Satriani, Always Within Me, Always With You is a great one. The Thrill Is Gone by Muddy Waters.
Yeah.
Fantastic song. Great atmosphere. And another one that is a lot of people probably don't know, and unfortunately he's long since passed, is a guy by the name of Jeff Healey.
Yeah.
His own only real hit was a song called Confidence Man, and the only other claim to fame that he really had was he was in the house band in the movie Roadhouse. But there's a song on his first album. The first album is called See the Light. And the song See the Light is a blistering, blazing guitar solo from a guy that played the guitar on his lap. He was blind, and he actually used to sit the guitar down on his lap, and he used to kind of play it almost like he was playing piano.
Yeah.
Amazingly fun to watch. Great guitar player. Two other ones that I'll add, and then I'll swing it back to you is Sultan's a Swing, Dire Straits.
Funny you said that. I came across this today, and for the podcast listeners, I'm holding up a 45 in its original little 45 jacket of Dire Straits' Walk of Life. Look at that, right?
I hate that song.
But it's funny you mentioned that because I came up with this 45. It popped up today. I was like, yeah. It's a cool little cover, though.
It's a
steel
cool
guitar.
Yeah. So one last one, and not that this is like number one or anything like that, but just the last one that I had on my list. Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine. You can pick plenty of solos.
Killing in the Name of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the one that I will, that, or Bulls on Parade, you know, if you want, Gorilla Radio. I mean, innovative guitar player.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the one that really blew me away as far as Tom Morello is when he actually played with Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band. There's a live version of him doing the Ghost of Tom Joad. And
he does it. Rage Against the Machine does a great cover of that.
Yeah. He's a great, great guitar player as well.
Yeah.
Some people think he's overrated. He relies upon effects a lot, but that guy can play.
He does it well. If you get a chance, watch that video. Watch that video. Rage Against the Machine, Ghost of Tom Joad. I actually looked at that one today, and I looked at it. I forgot to put Tom Morello down. I'm glad you brought him up. So those are our lists, people. Those are our lists. And maybe you liked them, maybe you didn't, maybe you agree, maybe you didn't. And I'm sure there will be another guitar solo show because there's so much there. There's so much there. But now it's time to move into Jack's favorite segment of the show. This Day in Music. Right? Okay. And I'm not even going to get it. Here we go.
This Day in Music.
You need an echo effect. Yeah. All right. On this day in 1962, Chubby Checker went back to number one on the U.S. singles charts with The Twist. The song first went to number one in September 1960 and became the only record in American chart history to top charts in two separate occasions. On this day in 1968, Johnny, did you just cough during, was that a mocking cough? Were you mocking me?
It wasn't a mocking cough. You know, it's cold and flu season here in New Hampshire.
On this day in 1968.
I don't know if you've watched the news at all, but there are people getting sick everywhere.
Let me get through this, please. All right.
This day.
Fucking asshole. On this day in 1968, Johnny Cash played a show, which was recorded for his forthcoming live album at Folsom Prison near Sacramento, California. I've gone to that prison, not inside of it, but I lived in Sacramento, in front of 2,000 inmates. When released, the lead single, Folsom Prison Blues, an update of his 1956 hit, became one of the most famous recordings of his career. On this day in 1969, Elvis Presley began a 10-day recording session that would produce his final U.S. number one record and my favorite record of all time from him. It's my favorite song from him, which the Fine Young Cannibals do a great cover of, Suspicious Minds. So he recorded that on this day in 1969. Don't you give me that look. This day in 1973, Eric Clapton made his stage comeback at the Rainbow Theater in London with Pete Townsend, Ronnie Wood, Steve Winwood, Jim Capaldi, and support from the Average White Band. The night's two shows were recorded for the Rainbow Concert album. Pete Townsend from The Who had organized the concert to help Clapton kick his heroin addiction.
The Average White Band, average. You're
right? No, hey, listen, if they got called up for that, then they're talented musicians.
No, they're absolutely talented. I'm just being a dick. No, keep going. This is fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is. On this day in 1978, with a budget of only £1,500 borrowed from Stuart Copeland's brother, the Police started recording their debut album at Surrey Sound Studios in Surrey, England, with producer Nigel Gray. The album Outlandos de Amor, which was released in November of that year, featured the hits So Lonely, Roxanne, and Can't Stand Losing You. That was a good investment right there. It was a sad day on this day in 2010. Soul singer and soul icon Teddy Pendergrass died at the age of 59 following a difficult recovery from colon cancer surgery. And it was also a sad day on this day in 2021. The New York Dolls guitarist Sylvain Sylvain died from cancer at the age of 69. Did you see that documentary on them.
I have not seen that yet.
Yeah, it's very good.
Is it on Netflix or?
I saw it a couple years back. I'll find it and I'll let you know. Okay. But it's
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And nobody of any interest was born on this day. So rate it 1 hour. We're done.
All right.
There you go. All right, buddy. Now I got to go do another live stream after this.
Hey, wait a minute. You didn't talk about the Go-Go's great guitar solos. That's it. That's all they have.
That's all you know. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it from them. Okay. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you like this, subscribe, share it. If you're listening to it, give it a like, give it a thumbs up, give it a comment, give us a rating, whatever they need you to do. Just do it for us. We're rolling along with our 39th episode. Next week will be our 40th episode.
Woo. Congratulations, yeah. Scotty. Nice job.
Coming up on a year, buddy. We've been doing
pretty
this
proud of you.
Well, it's you too, you know. Oh, yeah. It's not just me. Well, all you do is show up, but that's okay.
I'm just one of your many co-producers.
Exactly. I love to spread the wealth, share the joy. But everybody, listen, like I always say, doing this show for you guys, to quote my favorite artist, Morrissey, the pleasure, the privilege is mine and Jack's. And we'll be back next week with a new episode of Milk Crates and Turntables.
Good night, Scotty.
All right, Jackie, stay on for 1 second, and we are gone.